You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
But Shay does, seriously, he's a former council member for 8 years. Now he's part of the Chamber of Commerce trying to help better the city in various ways with various projects. And are you doing that?
We are.
Name one thing.
We've got a new initiative that we just announced last week.
Oh, good. Love initiatives.
Minority and women-owned businesses, to grow those as well as your locally small-owned businesses. And that's to have every Chairman Circle member, every Board of Governors, and eventually every Chamber member pledge to do at least one new contract with a minority and women-owned business and one new contract with a locally-owned small business. It's part of a bi-local initiative as well as growing the percentage. We have some historic ground to make up with regard to minority and women-owned businesses, and if we do that, it has a real huge economic effect on everything in the city, and it's part of a bigger growth strategy. So everyone get out there and do that.
So in 2017, why do we have, in a town that is 70% African-American, why do we have this disparity? It comes up constantly. It has for the past 30 years or 40 years, never ending discussions about why there aren't more black owned businesses and so on. Do people hire people based upon their skin color or based upon their competence?
Ideally, you have to have the competence. But hiring employees, this is about who you do business with that might be outside of your normal networks, okay, that are competent, that it's a growth strategy, because we do have to unlock that 70% of our population that makes up women and minorities and really make sure that we're being intentional about how we spend our dollars. And yep, it's also important to remember, if you spend $1 locally, it comes back into the economy at $1.17. If you don't spend it locally, it comes back at 78 cents. So there's a huge local effect at this, as well as, when we say contracts, you look back at historically, there's a lot of reasons why, with good intentions, we have not succeeded at this mission. And one of the reason we are saying contracts is because before, people might be at some sort of dollar level. Well, we're going to raise the minority spend by $2 million. Well, FedEx can do that with one contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone unfurls their mission accomplished banner. We land on the aircraft carrier and we say, woohoo! That's not what we want to do. We don't care how big or small your business is, but maybe you're having a lunch catered. Maybe you're having, just a cleaning service come in. And small. It might be a $500 contract, but that's important to that business that is doing it. We need to translate it from intentions to sales.
Okay, so let's explain this. The origins, this is from an article locally from a couple of days back. Rethink temp work was part of the headline. Shelby County, like many towns, has become a place that is known as a temp town. That means the temp agencies have come into town where there are lots of unskilled laborers, but where big companies don't want to pay decent wages to sign such workers up. Explain that. Interpret that one.
Well, some of it's seasonal work. Some of it's necessary work, where they don't necessarily have the training. But what we've seen is the temporary positions aren't translating enough to
full-time,
permanent positions.
Yeah.
And that hurts the employee. That hurts the employer, because there's a cost associated with it, and it creates a cannibalization between like employers in that sector, where if you get someone good, someone that goes and hires them away for the permanent, and you've paid all this money to train them. So, temp work is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nobility in all work, but we need to make sure we're doing a much better job, that that temp work comes with training. So if that job goes away, it's a seasonal job, that employee leaves not just with the paycheck for the hours worked, but with training and experience towards going forward. And there needs to be a plan for those companies to go from the temp to permanent, because it's in the their long-term best interest. And this is something that, you know, after the bridge protest, you know, the chamber, and I think that article kind of knocks us for it, but that's fine and fair, but at least give us credit for learning. We met with, you know, some of the Black Lives Matter and the Coalition for Concerned Citizens, and this is something that they said we had in our mind. They're going to want to talk about this, and they were really hammering on this, and we were like, okay, we're going to look into that, and looked into it and found out they're right. And so, you know, when you realize that there's an opportunity to make positive change in your community by attacking this problem, that's what your chamber does.
Okay, well, that's pretty complete. Shea Flynn is our guest. So that one is being just kind of put out there for everybody in this town that hires, and a suggestion from the Chamber of Commerce to businesses locally, big and small.
It's part of our workforce initiative. It's okay. Not just new jobs and creating, but to make sure that the temporary jobs start moving towards a more permanent position.
Any relation to this and to that gigantic job fair yesterday? I didn't hear any reaction or results from that. But there were 3,500 jobs open. Everybody from FedEx to Elvis's Place to, you know, Wendy's were hiring people. Did you hear how that went?
I have not heard how that went.
I mean, I can't imagine that was not a gigantic deal. 3,500 jobs in this town.
Yeah.
Is, you know, substantial and plays right into what you just said.
It's a small percentage of the jobs available. The two things that hurt our workforce and our workers are, one, when you get to some of the, I mean, we've got 16,000 advanced manufacturing jobs that pay very, very well, but it requires a little degree of training. So you got to need to make sure not necessarily a 4-year college or even a 2-year, but a certificate of completion of a course. We need to make sure we have that workforce trained. Secondly is drug screening. Mm. That it negatively impacts our workforce. And when you talk to employers.
A lot?
It does. I talked to an
employer. Can they buy some fake pee?
A company. You know, I assume there's still, you know, the internet. You can probably buy whatever you need.
Sure.
But we talked to an employer 2 weeks ago that they're looking to hire 15 people right now, paying above a living wage. And the number one thing that came back was because of some of their jobs and some government work that they do, they have to have there's a level of security that is required. And they fail a drug test.
Well, yeah, geez. Well, it's a never-ending issue. But people are trying. You know, you just get this sense in this town, and it's the word isn't desperation, but you have Amy sitting here and these issues that she's got, and Mike Rawlings and Jim Strickland and Mark Luttrell, and everybody seems to be trying their damnedest to get somebody's attention. And we sit here and do this week after week, month after month. And, you know, all we want is some kind of, you know, palpable results, for God's sake. And you wonder when those come and if you'll even, you know, see them come. I mean, it's the optimism part is easy to harp on, but it's even better when you see it in action.
Well, we are seeing some. I mean, our poverty rate did go down by a percentage point. We still have a long way to go, but we're trending in the right direction. The mayor presented his budget yesterday.
Yeah, so that's my next question. So how is that taken? I mean, all I've seen were the winners and the losers, according to somebody in the paper or something. The MPD and crime and hiring officers was number one on the mayor's list. Youth, because youth will someday be adult, and they have to get a grip now. So those two things were the biggies. Tommy Malone is not pleased because they left firefighters out of this completely. And some other things that were on the list of those that were overlooked, according to them. There's only so much dough and so many places to put it. So what do you say to Tommy Malone if you're Jim Strickland?
I think that they received raises last year. I think there are, you know, they're still the second largest item in the budget.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not that there's nothing there. There might not be as much new there, but I know they're looking at ways to create greater efficiencies with some of the things that the firefighters are challenged by.
Yep.
And that can do it. You know, there can be benefits that aren't necessarily financial. And when you know, budgets, you have to put a bunch of different stuff in the pot. I think it's pretty impressive that the mayor came out with a no, you know, with not raising the tax rate, especially given that we are in a reappraisal year. Yep. So the total amount, it's right now at 340, will come down considerably. I don't think anyone knows exactly how much.
But these, I mean, from Germantown to South Haven, the home values have jumped this year tremendously. So they could have, likely added or raised a property tax without too much blowback, but they didn't do that. I don't know how all these things work. It's too complicated. But So did Jim just he gave out the little books, the handbooks, the 8,000 pages for them to all read with a line item breakdown. Then they began to negotiate and discuss.
Yes.
But what is there to negotiate? I just have this picture of, you know, a major, you know, bloodletting and crying and fighting over what?
The budgets and budgets establish priorities. The mayor has.
Aren't they already established going in?
By the mayor. Now, that the administration, the executive branch has said that, the legislative branch or the council, they ultimately control the purse strings. That's how, you know, the divided government works. So now they get to have their priorities. It's not going to be a 7-minute affair this time because I just don't think there's the give there that there necessarily was last year where council members can say, we want this. Okay, that all works together. I think they're going to have to make some stark choices, and that's where the negotiations and the hearings really come out. So where will it be fireworks? Probably not, but will it be, you know, some hard-nosed negotiations about, you know, Chairman Boyd and Councilman Ford have already said, well, we want to see more general raises for all the employees.
It ain't there.
Where's that money going to come from? They're going to have to find it, and you have to take it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, you start playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to ever have that job. Jesus, what a thankless gig. Will the mayor spend time with each council person?
He will.
Trying to sell his story and listen to them bitch and then back and forth.
He will be trying to sell his vision of the budget, and each council member will be trying to sell their vision of the budget. And somewhere in between will be 7 votes.
Somewhere the twain shall meet. Can I sell my vision?
I'm sure you could.
No, I don't want to. Never mind.
I mean, the whiskey budget in the council would have to go up dramatically.
Yeah, No, I'm not really into that. Although I have discovered I don't drink dark liquor already ever until I found this stuff called Jefferson's Ocean. I have to bring you some.
Jefferson's Ocean.
It is a blended whiskey that
sounds like a suntan oil.
And it tastes just like it.
Perfect.
It goes around the world in cargo ships. In casks that are they have different flavors like vanilla or lavender, and they it travels the world 4 times in the bottom of these ships. Then it is bottled in small batches and sold for a buttload of money.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
And then you taste it, and I was totally terrified to even get near it, but you taste it, and you go, and
it's real.
Whoa.
Wow.
This is not something that you put, you know, Sprite in. You put it in a glass and you sip it.
It's more a Diet Coke mixer.
Yes. Write a good Diet Coke with $100 bottle of whiskey. That's a good thing. Woo, for the South.
Living hard.
Diet Coke and good bourbon. Good call. But perhaps we'll add some to the green room for your next appearance.
Well, that we can bust out a bottle when we do our live remote from the final council budget deliberations. Than the playoffs. Come on.
There are people asking me if we're serious about that.
I don't know that we're not serious about that. We're not serious.
I'm just I have visions of it going really bad.
Let's explore the space. There's no judgment in brainstorming. You know, let's just see where we come out at.
I think it would be highly entertaining. I'm not sure for how long.
We would have fun with it, though. And that's what's important. I mean, the listeners, come on, they got a button. They can join.
But it's the kind of thing that it would only, or it would be at its most effective if we could do it maybe on the internet where there are no FCC rules. And we could say things that we otherwise could not say on the public airwaves and get fired?
Yes. Okay. Now, because we just need a web page.
I just think that you need full license to call everybody out and call them whatever name is appropriate at the time, which might get really ugly.
Or really awesome.
Or both.
So all we need are 3 or 4 brave sponsors. Really, to make this dream.
I don't know that would fly in this building. We got to run that up the flagpole to the top, and I don't sense a good answer coming back. But it's a good idea in theory. But we have time.
We do.
They'll be fighting about this for 2 months. Well, anyway, we'll see. Anything else good going on? I was going to ask you something else, but now I've forgotten about it. Because the budget has been a big deal this chamber announcement about the minority. This is a really good thing. Hopefully this gets acted upon, and hopefully the crime, summertime around here starts to make you nervous. And the things we see in the news,
July, which
has, they make you nervous. This has got to stop. And we got to stop having public figures punching their girlfriends in cars at chicken joints. And we got to stop some of these lawyers from saying stupid things in courtrooms about women. And the list goes on and on and on. And the local TV news needs to stop their act. They're not helping. There's a new piece today, a thing today in the CA from somebody who watches the TV, this news and is saying, enough already. You're killing us.
No mas. No mas.
There are all these things that we all seem to recognize that are problems, but they persist, and we discuss them endlessly. But maybe it takes a village like us to help.
It does.
Just the never-ending, yammering about these. But this is not yammering. These are serious things, and you got to keep them top of mind, and just hope for the best, I guess.
And you got to also get a little bit deeper, and public service announcement here. We talked about the budget and the reappraisal year, and we've talked about this before 4 years ago whenever we went through the last one, but there's a state law on reappraisals that there's a no windfall provision for city and county governments, meaning when the reappraisal comes in, if it generated $680 million last year, it has to generate $680 million this year. Since everybody's property values went up, the tax rate has to be lowered by state law. Okay. So the 340 should come down maybe around the 320. Again, no one knows exactly what it is.
Effective when?
They will vote on that before they vote on the budget.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is all statutory. 4 years ago, coming out of the Great Recession, of course, for the first time in history, it went the other way, and we had to go up about 28 cents. Because the reappraisal was so much lower and it kicked in, and that's an automatic thing. But so your tax rate is now 340. When it's normalized for the reappraisal, it'll be lower. So then you have to watch what happens in between to see, it could go up to 330 and that would be a tax increase. Okay. So you have to, watch how it works. And that's again to,
I just wonder,
get it out there as part
I just
of the
wonder who's paying attention and who's not out there in the real world. People are just, checking out and staying drunk and doing heroin, and they're just freaked out by the whole world and they're not paying attention.
Well, I'm living proof that you can pay attention and stay drunk.
We need that on a shirt.
I think that's
blame the beer.
That's called being a functioning alcoholic. And I think that we could all raise our hands and go, well, maybe we've been there before and we'll be again. But we're all employed still so far, so what the hell. Thank you, as always. This will have no shortage of content, ever again in this town. Give our best to the mayor. I'm sure he's having a stress-free day.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's just walking on sunshine.
So have you heard the spring memories of Matthew McConaughey?
No.
let me play you one of these into the break. Shea Flynn, thank you, sir. We will revisit this nonsense next week. Here into the break are spring memories from Matthew McConaughey.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.